I want you to open up your Bibles to Mark chapter 11, verses 22 through 24, because there's something that I've got to lay a foundation for, and I'm going to go through this quickly because I want to get to what God's placed on my heart, but I had to lay this foundation first, Mark 11, 22 through 24. And the Bible says this, Jesus, and I'm going to read out of old school King James Version because I liked it best, and Jesus answering saith unto them, have faith in God. For verily I say unto you, that whosoever shall say unto this mountain, be thou removed and be thou cast into the sea, and shall not doubt in his heart, but shall believe all that those things which he saith shall come to pass, he shall have whatsoever he saith. Verse 24. Therefore I say unto you, whatever things you desire when you pray, believe that you receive them, and you shall have them. Now let's break this down. He starts right here in verse 22, and he says, have faith in God. Now, let me tell you something about prayer before we get into this and I lay this foundation. This is something about prayer. You need to understand it. If you're going to pray consistently and you're going to pray through a season of prayer, and this is going to become a lifestyle and a habit of prayer, you're not going to always be able to pray in some kind of spiritual frenzy. It's not always going to be some kind of hyped, emotional, outrageous prayer. It's not going to be on some emotional high where we pray, where you cry or you shout or you weep or you run or you, whatever it may be. It's not always going to be that. It's not going to be feelings based. Not all the time. In fact, it's not our feelings and it's not our emotion that impact God. The Bible says that what moves God in prayer is what? Faith. It's not going to be your emotions. It's not going to be your tears. And I'm thankful for tears. They're cleansing. I'm thankful for shouts. They're inspiring. But what moves God when you pray is faith. So what he gets right into the beginning. It is faith. One of the greatest messages I ever heard preached was by a man named Norval Hayes. Any of y'all remember Norval Hayes? Great man of God, powerful man of faith, great teacher of the Word of God. I heard this message twice. He taught a message called Faith with No Emotions. And to this day, I've not seen a more powerful move of God that wasn't surrounded by all the emotional hype. So I heard it once when I was in a chapel when I was in Bible college, and I actually heard him preach it once here at New Life Church. He came here years ago. We was up in the gym. Remember when we were remodeling everything? We were up in the gym for some of you old school New Lifers. So he was up there. He preached this message, Faith with No Emotions, and he was very just straightforward in his message. Wasn't, up and down and wild and crazy, but he just taught this. And at the end, he said, now, whenever I make this call, you all wait and see. There's going to be this powerful move of God, this spontaneous move of God, and it's not going to be with people going crazy. People aren't going to be falling out, slaying in the spirit, running in crazy and all that. He said, but there's just going to be a tangible, powerful move of God. And when he finished his prayer and said, now respond, it was crazy. Not crazy because of emotions, but crazy because you could feel faith. You could feel the presence of God in that service, one of the most powerful moments, and it didn't have anything to do with my emotions. And I we've all had those crazy moments, but it's been great. But faith is not about your emotions. It's not about your feelings. And when we pray, it's not about the feelings that move God. It's not about the emotions that move God. It is about your faith. That's why whenever you get feelings and you get emotional, make sure you get back into faith. A lot of us, whenever we start getting our feelings hurt or we start going through emotional problems, first thing we do is we get on Facebook. Dear Facebook friends, I had to share some things I'm going through. And I was just thinking, I read this all the time. And let me help you out. One of the reasons why we're in 21 days of prayer is also because I want you to not depend on the likes of many. I want you to dwell on the like of one. One that matters in your life. This is what we're getting to. Your feelings don't move God. It's your faith. It's your faith that moves God. You can only receive to your ability or your capacity to believe. So if you can believe it, you can receive it. So the first thing you understand about prayer is it's not how long, not how crazy, not about emotionalism, not about feelings. It's about your faith. And it's believing that God heard me pray. He heard my voice. And I'm believing and trusting in God. Now, verse 23, he goes on to say that whoever believes and speaks into this mountain. Now, in Matthew's take on this, when you read this in Matthew, Jesus is talking about moving your mountain with faith that is the size of a mustard seed. A mustard seed, you could set one single mustard seed on your fingertip. On your fingertip. And he's saying, listen, here's what I want you to understand. He's showing something. He's showing, I want you to know how powerful faith really is. that you can move a mountain with just a tiny little bit of this. Now, he's not talking about a literal mountain unless you need a literal mountain moved. If you need an actual mountain moved, then he says, this will do it. Now, make sure before you start speaking your faith, if you got a shovel in your hand, this is one thing that I've learned about faith, and I wanted to point this out today because I got to lay this foundation. This is very important. But God rarely releases miracles where you have an ability to do the ordinary. In other words, before you start getting crazy about your faith, if you're staring at a mountain and you got a shovel in your hand, guess what you should be doing? Digging. This is what I mean by this. A lot of us are believing God for financial miracles, financial breakthroughs, but refuse to get a job. Praying and asking God to heal your body and you eat garbage. You refuse to take a walk every now and then. You hadn't drank water since the last time you went swimming and almost drowned. I don't know. You don't need to pray. You need to dig. God is good and he'll still come through, but this is what we're getting into, all right? You got to understand about practical application. When we're dealing with this, Jesus says, he's saying, listen, you've got to understand that the greatest in your life, the biggest object in your life can be moved by just the smallest thing. Just a little bit of a mustard, something very tiny can move it. And so again, it's not about how wild your prayer gets, because your wild prayer won't impact God. It's not about how insane and nuts it gets and emotional. It's not about that. It's about, do you believe? Because if you can have just this much belief, you can have this much response. And this is what he's getting to. And he's reminding this before we get into prayer. That's why faith is so important. See, that's one of the things that I've never understood about believers is that whenever a believer gets in trouble, do you understand how valuable and how important faith is? Because if you're a believer and you're facing some big time problems, Jesus himself said, all it takes is that much faith. Just that, can you believe this much? Fingertip. Can you believe just that much? Because if you can believe just that much, he can move mountains out of your life. That's the value of faith in your life. If you can believe it, you can have it. I also see people make a mistake of they try to, you know, like hype themselves and jack themselves up like a football player would right before a football game, get themselves into like this frenzy, you know, headbutt and stuff, and they call that faith. They're treating it like it's the Force from Star Wars, like, I can move that mountain. No, that's not faith. Okay, faith can't be just stirred up like that. It's not how it works. Faith is a divine thing. Faith is a holy thing. Faith is something that comes from God. In fact, the Bible says in Romans that God has dealt everyone the measure of faith. It first came from God when you became a believer. Now, your part is to dive into that word and grow in the knowledge of the word of God. But God is the one who's going to give the increase. God's the one who's going to add to this. And so your part is to believe. That's why faith, even though at times it's a fight, faith is not supposed to be a struggle for believers. You're just simply supposed to believe. So not supposed to be a hard thing to walk and live by faith. That's not how he set this up. You're just simply supposed to believe. If you can believe, then you can receive. That's what he said. If you believe it, then you shall have it. But that also means this. If I can't believe it, then I need to just keep my mouth shut. If you can't believe for God for something, you can't believe it, then leave it alone. Because you're just wasting your time. You're wasting your time. If you can't believe, then there's no reason to start speaking, because Jesus said, you got to believe first. That's one of the reasons why, Jesus in Matthew 9, why he kicked a bunch of people out of the room with the sick little girl, because none of them believed. He had to have a room full of believers to get the miracle for that little girl. This is an important factor in this, right? So Jesus is saying, all right, so you're looking at one side and you got a mountain or you got a big object or you got a problem in your life, but you look at what you've got on this other side and it's just this tiny little mustard seed, this tiny little faith. And he says, as long as you believe and don't doubt, that tiny little bit is enough. That's all you need. That's all you need to move this mountain. So trust me. And he goes on in verse 24. Again, I'm laying a quick foundation and I'm going to dive into this. Verse 24, and he says, whatsoever things you desire. Everybody say that word desire. Whatsoever things you desire. That word desire is a loaded word here. Because he says, whatever you desire. Who desires? You. Whatever things you desire. That's why you can't operate in faith over what someone else wants you to have. That means it won't work for you just because I want it to work for you. You can't operate in Josh Huffman's faith. It won't work for you just because Pastor Daryl wants it to work for you. You can't operate in his faith. Whatsoever things you desire. I have to believe. I have to not doubt. I have to desire. It's up to me. Everybody say, it's my faith. This is important. Whatsoever things you desire, because you just wanting me to have it won't produce it in my life. I need to have a desire. Now, when we talk about desire, Psalm 37 says, trust in the Lord, delight in the Lord, and he will give you the desires of your heart. Now, a lot of times when we read that, we think that means that heaven has an ATM machine, and when we trust in the Lord, it's like placing our debit card in that ATM machine, typing in our secret code, and getting from God whatever it is we want. But that's not what he meant at all. In fact, it's not even close to what he meant at all. What he's saying is, I will myself place those desires in your heart. In other words, I'm going to place in your life a passion for the things of God. I'm going to make sure your desires for your life match my desires for your life. Somebody say amen. Now, if you're a believer, you know what this means, because when you were as a believer, you know that before Jesus, you had different desires, didn't you? But after Jesus, what did he do? He changed those desires. The things you wanted to do and the people you wanted to be around and the stuff you wanted to see and all that changed the moment you gave your heart and life to Jesus Christ. It's because he changes those desires, and this is what he's talking about. He's saying, listen, I'm going to make sure that the desires in your heart are holy. I'm going to make sure those are for me. I'm going to read 1 Corinthians chapter 2 because, again, I got to emphasize this just a few more minutes. 1 Corinthians 2, can you put this up? 1 Corinthians chapter 2 verses 9 and 10. Like NIV, can you get that on there real quick? 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verses 9 and 10. I want you all to see this. Because these desires are necessary for your prayer life. They're very, very important. The Bible says this, but as it is written, eye has not seen, nor ear heard, nor have entered into the heart of man the things which God has prepared for those who love him. But it was to us that God revealed these things by his Spirit. For his Spirit searches out everything and shows us God's deep secrets. The Spirit searches out everything, and then what? Shows us God's deep secrets, the deep things of God. What that means is this, that God has shown you things that he has in store for you that haven't happened in your life yet. It means when you get into the Spirit, he'll start giving you ideas. He'll start showing you images. He'll start showing you glimpses of what he wants to do in your life, how he wants to use your life. The Spirit searches out, shows us things to come. All right, it's like on Facebook or Instagram. You know they have Instagram and Facebook stories? Where, you know, when you pull up somebody's quick story and you just kind of swipe through. That's what Dennis was talking about whenever I had my cool trucker hat. Thanks for pointing out, by the way, that I'm super fidgety and I can't sit still. That was nice of you. But that's what he's saying. He's saying, what I can do is the Holy Spirit will kind of show you a story, an Instagram story, a Facebook story, just a glimpse of what it is. And you don't have it yet, but you'll see it in your spirit. And he's saying, what happens is this, when you begin to reveal these things to the Holy Spirit in your life, what you begin to see by faith places a holy desire, because now you want those things to happen in your life. When he starts showing you spiritual growth, when he starts showing you spiritual increase, when he starts showing you purpose, when he starts showing you ministry, when he starts showing you healing or restorations or deliverance through your spirit, all of a sudden now your desires change because you want what God wants in your life. And he's talking about these holy desires here. You following me with this? This is why the next 3 weeks are so important, because when we get into the presence of God, when we walk in the Spirit, like Galatians 5 says, when we get into the presence of God, God will show us more and more of these kind of stories and glimpses of what he wants to do in our life, and the spiritual awakenings and the spiritual breakthroughs and the spiritual growth. And now all of a sudden you've got these God-given desires and you've got these God-given passions, and you don't just want what you want for the sake of having stuff. You want what God wants for your life. And now your desires are holy, and now your desires, but see, that's the thing, is when Jesus was talking to people here and saying, whatsoever things you desire, he wasn't talking to a bunch of carnal Christians. He wasn't talking to people who still desired carnal things. He's like, listen, you don't desire holy things, you're just jealous. You want somebody else's stuff, or you want this, or you want, he's saying, that's not what I'm talking about here. I'm talking to some Christians who have a holy desire, who want spiritual things in their life, who want what God wants in their life. And he's saying, until you get your heart right and you desire the things I want you to have, he's saying, I'm going to give you a powerful thing. It's so powerful that one little tiny mustard seed of it can move a whole mountain of it. That's the potency. That's the power of faith in your life. But before I release that kind of power in your life, whatsoever things you desire, when you have a holy desire, then when you pray. You following me? So he's saying, check your heart and make sure. Make sure that before you start getting into this season of prayer, make sure that that heart is pure. Make sure that you're not just wanting stuff to have stuff. Make sure you're not wanting somebody else's stuff. Make sure that what you desire, it comes from God. It's a holy desire. It's a pure desire. It's something that God wants for your life. So there's a unity. There's an alignment there. This isn't just about treating God like he's some Santa Claus up in heaven. And if I send him up my list, he sends me down my presents. That's not what he's saying. And he's making sure that we understand this. So Jesus is telling us, when you pray, believe. Believe you shall receive it, and new you shall have it. This is my foundation. Now let's start talking about prayer. This is very, very important. Because too many people today say, I'm just too busy to pray. Let's have an honest moment. This is church. God knows. How many of you have had that thought before? I'm so busy. I'm too busy to pray. I have. I'm so busy. I'm too busy to pray. And all of a sudden, one day, it realized whenever as a believer, I need to say the opposite. Whenever I'm so busy and I got so much going on, I'm so busy, I have to pray more. See, it's the opposite of everything we think. It's the opposite. Everything we do in faith, we do in prayer. New Life Church is a church of faith, a church of prayer. Everything we're going to do, we're going to commit in and through prayer. Think about this with me for a second. What would change in your life if instead of your life being built on work and your job and making money or sports and extracurricular or all these other different things, what would your life look like if it was based on a foundation of prayer? How much of your life would be impacted and changed because of that if it were built in prayer? That's why we're doing 21 days, a season, a full season of prayer, because we're going to do it not just this year. We're going to do this year after year whenever the Holy Spirit prompts and inspires, because we're going to be a people who are constantly in a prayer mode, and that's going to be who we are. And that's why I'm adopting this rally cry with just two simple words. Two simple words. It's the title of this series. It's the title of today's message. Those words are very powerful and they're very simple, but it is pray first. Everybody say that after me. Say pray first. We are going to pray first. It doesn't have to be 2 hours of prayer, 3 hours of prayer. It doesn't have to be these long, drawn-out prayers. Just simply pray first. Some of you, your day would go so much better if you would just wake up and say, Heavenly Father, good morning. I dedicate this day to you. And that's it. Already your day would go 10 times better than what it normally does, because you put him first. That's why we are going to pray first. That would change everything. We pray first. Before your doctor's appointment, you've waited 45 minutes in the waiting room. All right, when they finally call your name, whatever it may be, Lord, I thank you. Before I go see any doctors or any nurses and they start probing and poking and prodding and doing what they do to make sure I'm healthy or I get the help I need, Lord, I thank you that you guide and lead these doctors, and I thank you that Jesus, you're my great physician, you're my healer. I'm going to pray first. If you're in sales today and you're making money off stuff before you see a client, Lord, I thank you. I'm about to make loads of money off of this person in Jesus' name, whatever it may be. Before you send your kids off to school, Lord, I release my children with the blessing of God. I thank you that they are leaders and not followers. They're going to be led by the Spirit. They're going to make great choices. They have the mind of Christ. You pray first. Everybody say pray first. Before anything and everything, we're going to pray first. This is what we do. That's how we operate. In every situation, we're going to pray first. That's why. Did you get one of these bracelets when you walked in? Everybody get one of these? You're going to put these bracelets on. I see all these bracelets all over the place. Put them on. Wear it. It's going to remind you. This is for you. It's a reminder. So wear this bracelet every day. Shower in it. Eat in it. Everything. Don't take it off. Wear it to work. Wear it to school. Always reminder to pray first. When it gets nasty and funky and it falls off because it gets rotten, we'll give you a new one. We can order these all day long. We'll get them as many as we need and keep these on your wrist forever. Pray first. Exercise in it. Get it all sweaty. Do what you got to do. But that is our rally cry for the next 21 days. We are going to pray first. Now pull out your handout. Look on the screen. We're going to read 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. verse 16 through 18, the Bible says this, "Rejoice always, pray continually, and give thanks in all circumstances, for this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus." Actually, verse 17 in 1 Thessalonians 5, if you ever wanted to memorize a verse of the Bible, this is one to do it. Just two words, real short verse there. Pray continually. Pray continually. How do I do that? How do I pray continually? How do I stop? Do I have to stop what I'm doing, get on my knees, you know, never come up? No. It literally means that in every situation, I'm going to base it in prayer. I'm going to base it in prayer. That means I'm going to go, I'm going to live my life, I'm going to do what I normally do, I'm going to go to my job, I'm going to go to my school, I'm going to do what I do, I'm going to have fun, go to my games, whatever it is, but I'm going to invite and bring prayer into that situation. Every single day, I'm going to do this. I'm going to pray continually and give God thanks in all circumstances, for this is God's will. Well, then what has to move in my life for me to start praying first? Because again, that is God's will for your life. And this is our rallying cry. And so I want you to be in on this for the future. And if you're new to New Life Church and you've just been coming for a little bit and you need another rallying cry for our church, I want you to jot this down. This is the first part of your notes. Write this down. Prayer should be our first response, not our last resort. Prayer should be our first response, not our last resort. Because a lot of us, and I include myself in this one sometimes, we act first and then we want God to bail us out after the fact. Am I right? Yep, we sure do. But we're not going to act first. What are we going to do? Pray first. We're going to pray first. We need to act, but first we're going to pray. Prayer is our first response, not our last resort. Now, let me get serious with you for a moment. If you guys know me, you know me well enough to know that I'm not typically a serious person. I have my serious moments. Last Sunday was very serious. But most of the time, I'm not very serious. I'm the kind of guy that believes church should be filled with laughter and fun and food, lots of Jesus, lots of praise, lots of coffee. Somebody say amen. That's the truth. Not really mostly a serious person, but this is very serious. Our world, there are times where as a pastor, I've got to be able to look you in the eye and really connect and let you know about what's going on. And this is one of those moments. Our nation, our world is in a drastic moral decline. It is not good. It is not going like this. It is going like this. And it is happening fast. You can say, well, you know, it's just because of social media. We're just aware of it more, and it's really not that bad. No, it really is that bad. Don't be one of those head in the sand kind of Christians. Where just because you ignore it doesn't mean it's not real. You can pretend it's not real, but it's still going on. Things are not good. Things are not good, and this is, something is up. Something is up, very serious. And if you are a believer, you shouldn't be afraid, but there should be an urgency in your spirit. You should have a little alarm going off on the inside right now. You should. That's why, look at the scripture, 2 Chronicles, it's on your notes. That's why the Bible says, when the heavens are shut up and there is no rain, you've got a drought. Now, I'm not just talking about a rain drought. I'm talking about a moral drought. There's a drought going on, or command locusts to devour the land, or send a plague among my people. And here's what you should do, and it's almost like God is teasing us by saying, I'm not sure if they will, but here's what they should do. But if my people, if they would just come to this place, instead of trying to fix things that way and going to that place, if my people who are called by my name, if they would just humble themselves and pray and seek my face, turn from their wicked ways, then I'm going to tell you what's going to happen. I'm going to hear from heaven, I'm going to forgive their sin, and I'm going to heal their land. And that is what is needed, New Life Church. And what this tells me, and I want you to know this morning, is that you and I, we have a role of what's going on in our society. We have a role in what's going to fix Huntington, the tri-state, the nation, and the world. We have a role to play in this. And that is why we need to pray first. We've got to pray first. So I'm going to teach you. We're going to teach you how to effectively pray. In the next 3 weeks, we're going to pray, and it's going to revolutionize your life. It's going to revolutionize this church. I'm going to have some fun while we do it. Is that all right? I hope so, because that's what I'm going to do. Chances are some of you are thinking, oh, but prayer is so hard, I don't want to do. How many of you ever had to stand in one of those circles where you had to pray in a group, and when it was your turn to pray, you squeezed the person's hand, you got your hand squeezed? And so they started on one end, and then they'd start the prayer, and everybody had their thing to pray for, and you were thankful because you weren't the first person who had to pray, so you had a moment to figure some things out. Okay, I can pray for this, and I can pray for that, for that. And then you get to, like, you know, super holy Sally, who prays, you know, all spiritual stuff, and it gets to her, and she prays all the stuff that you had already thought of to pray. I'm like, oh, man, suck. This is the worst thing ever. And then, like, two more people get to you, and they squeeze your hand, and you're like, forget it. I'm going to pray prayer anyway. Lord, I pray everything that Sally prayed. That's how we prayed in high school. It was awful. And then the other part of the prayers, we have these awful little scary prayers that we pray over our children and teach them. What is that one? Now I lay me down to sleep. I pray the Lord my soul to... Who would say that to a child? If I die before I wake, pray the Lord my soul to take. That is the scariest prayer. Why would you say that to a baby? What's it all about? And the problem for so many of us is that prayer is not attractive. Prayer seems boring. Prayer seems difficult. Nobody wants to pray out loud because they're intimidated and they're embarrassed. I don't know what to pray. Y'all want to hear a joke? I've got a joke for you. Y'all want to hear a joke? It's about a hillbilly. So here it goes. Billy Bob is driving his car and he's swerving all over the road. Of course, he got the attention of an officer, and the officer sees Billy Bob's car swerving, and so the officer pulls him over. License and registration. Billy Bob hands it to him. Officer says, Billy Bob, what is going on? You're swerving all over the road. He says, pal, I'm going to have to test you out for some things. I'm going to have to give you a breathalyzer. Billy Bob says, ho-ho, can't do that. Can't do that. Why can't I give you a breathalyzer, Billy Bob? You can't do that. I'll tell you why. It's because I'm an asthmatic. I could die right here. Can't do that. Officer's like, psh, scratches his head. Well, then how about this? We're going to have to take a urine test from you, Billy Bob. We're going to have to take a urine test. Billy Bob says, oh, I can't do that either. Well, why not? I'm a diabetic. Diabetic? Yep, I might die right here on the spot. Well, how about this? We're going to give you a blood test. We're going to give you a blood test. Test. Oh, I can't do that. Officer says, what? Why can't I give you a blood test, Billy Bob? I'm a hemophiliac. I bleed to death right here on the road. Die right in front of everybody. Officer scratches his head. What am I going to do with you, Billy Bob? Well, I know you're going to have to get out and you're going to have to walk a straight line. Billy Bob says, I can't do that either. And officer says, why in the world, Billy Bob, can you not walk a straight line? Billy Bob says, because I'm drunk. I don't care who you are. That's funny right there. Why would you tell that joke, Pastor Josh? I'll tell you why. It's because for a lot of us, that's what our spiritual lives and our prayer lives look like. We are always making excuses. You got an excuse after an excuse after an excuse why you can't pray, and I'm going to dispel all of that today. This is so practical, so simple. I can teach you how to pray, and it's only going to take a few minutes. Give me a few more minutes. I'm going to teach you how to pray. We're going to learn to pray the way Jesus prayed, and it's so simple. Will you give me a few minutes, and will you learn this? All right. So the Bible says this, Luke chapter 11, look on your notes. One day Jesus was praying in a certain place. He was in a certain place. That's another week's message. We'll get to that later. But he was in a certain place, and then he finished. And the disciples, who, by the way, his disciples grew up memorizing prayers. They knew prayers. They had prayers that they recited. So his disciples knew how to pray based on the customs of how they were raised. They grew up in the custom where they knew how to pray. But they said to the Lord, Lord, teach us how to pray. Well, they weren't asking to teach him how to pray. What they're asking is, Jesus, I want you to teach me how to pray like that. Because that's not like I pray. They watched Jesus pray and heard him pray, and he's connecting with God. They watched Jesus and hear him praying, and he's having the presence of God, and they're seeing, wow, you're enjoying that. You're not bored. You're not just repetitious. You're praying, this is kind of cool. Jesus, I want you to show me how you connected with God. I want you to teach me how to pray. And then Jesus responds with what we today have called the Lord's Prayer. Problem is, for us, we've sucked all the life and passion out of it. And we recite it like it's just some religious duty, and we say it and we feel better about ourselves, but have taken all the power out of this. And it's just recited. And are you guys ready for this? Jesus never intended for you to just recite this as a prayer. What? No, he doesn't want you to just recite this as a prayer. In fact, when he was teaching this, he never once said, pray this prayer. He said, in like manner, pray this after me. In other words, I'm going to give you all the different topics and subjects I want you to pray, and I'm going to break it down. So I'm going to show you how you should be praying. And so this is how the Lord broke this down. He's giving us an outline of prayer, and he gives us it in basically seven breakdowns. It's found in both Luke chapter 11. It's found in Matthew chapter 6. But we're going to look at Matthew 6's version today, and we'll look at it here. And so he started with, "Our Father who art in heaven." But then there's a comma. Not a sentence. It's not a period. There's a comma. So he says, first I deal with that. And then I go into this next phrase, "Hallowed be our name." And then I prayed your kingdom come. And then I pray your will be done as it is in heaven. I pray that for a while. And then I get into my needs and I prayed for my today. Today, give us this day our daily bread. Then I dealt with forgiveness. Forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. Then I prayed this, "Lead me not into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one." I dealt with that for a while. Then he goes in to say, "For yours is the kingdom of the power and the power of glory forever and ever. Amen." And what Jesus is doing is, and what he's showing us, is one of the greatest revelations that I can give you, New Life Church, when it comes to your prayer life. This is powerful. This is beautiful. And it won't take forever. But here's the challenge. Here's the challenge. And I'm going to tell you about all the stuff that I gave you this morning at the end of the message. Don't worry about that. We'll get into that. But here's the challenge. Once you receive this word today, don't you dare take these notes and just shove it in your Bible or fold it up and put it in your purse or in your pocket and don't do anything about it. Here's the challenge. Take 10 to 15 minutes and then pray every day. Every day, take 10 to 15 minutes and pray. Take it and pray, just at the most, and pray these seven topics. And I'm going to tell you, you're going to say, this is going to be one of the most meaningful times of prayer I have ever had in my life. When you reflect on this, it's your challenge. So here's the first phrase that he gives us. Number one, he says, "Our Father who art in heaven." And he says, look, here's where you guys are missing it. And you need to do this first. Write this down if you're taking notes. And that is this. You need to connect with God relationally. Connect with God relationally. You got to connect him relationally. So don't connect with him formally. Don't come in. Don't start your prayers with, "Oh, God." And you're like praying King James. "Oh, thou." What? That's, cut that out. Cut it out. He says he's your Father. He's your Father. He wants to be close. He wants to connect. Your Heavenly Father. Jesus is telling his disciples, this is his absolute favorite name to be called. Dad. Father. So when you start praying, start by speaking to your Father. He wants to connect relationally. Now, it may be odd, but when you wake up in the morning, that's the very first thing you say, "Good morning, Heavenly Father. Good morning, Father. I'm excited to spend some time with you." All right, it's like this. So I got kids. When my kids were little, it was so great because there were days where they would just run. It was seriously every day. They would run in, wanted to sit on our bed. They were always wrestling, sitting on our laps. Ava would put her sweet little hands on my face and kiss me on the cheek. Oh my God, it melted my heart. To this day, my screensaver on my cell phone is a picture of my kids when they were little. I love it so much. It's brought me so much joy because we connected relationally all the time. Now my kids are grown up. And y'all know where I'm headed with this. So now it's like, bring. That's the text message. "Hey, I'm going to go to Abby's house." "All right, you need money?" "Yeah." "How much money you need?" $10.20. "All right, you need a ride?" "No, her dad's coming to get me." "All right, I love you. See you later." "My son." Same thing. "I'm going to Jackson's house. We're going to hang out. When I need to pick you up, I'll let you know." Like, just little details here and there. But every once in a while, we'll have these family nights. We're playing cards. We'll pull out Uno. We'll watch a movie together. Every once in a while, one of my kids will come in, and Megan and I are sitting on the bed. It's at the end of a long day, and they'll come and sit down, and they'll just start talking. And Megan and I give each other this look like, "Oh." And if both kids come in, we're like, "Oh, don't spook it. They'll run." But if one of them comes in, if these kids just knew, if it's my daughter or my son, at that moment, in my head, I'm thinking, "You're my favorite kid. I'll give you whatever you want if you'll ask now." Because we have that moment where we connect, because as a father, you just want to connect relationally. And that's what our Heavenly Father wants with us. He wants to connect relationally. Romans 8:15, "For you have not received a spirit that makes you fearful slaves." If you're serving God out of fear, you are doing it wrong. You have the wrong picture of God. And your view of God will determine your relationship with God. And that's the wrong view. Instead, he says, you have received God's spirit when he adopted you as a child. He sees you as a child and he loves it. He loves that you're his child. So we don't just come in and just throw out our heavenly request to him. But no, we come to him as our Heavenly Father. We love you. We love you. And then he says, Jesus says, and after I do that, then I go to this next phrase, hallowed, which is kind of a fancy word. Hallowed be your name. And what is Jesus saying? He's saying this, I'm going to spend time talking about the names of God. And in your notes, you're going to write this down. Write it this way. I'm going to worship his name. I'm going to worship his name. By the way, that's not just some phrase that we sing. We worship your name, and we sing songs about that all the time. No, this is Jesus actually worshiping the different names of God. And so when you're praying, actually take time and begin to speak out the names of God. It's like this. Let me illustrate it this way. Again, with my children, they're just such great for illustrations. So when I yell at my kids, hey, tell your brother, tell your sister to clean your room. If they go, hey, you got to clean your room. How many of y'all know nobody's getting a room clean that day? So they're not listening to each other. I'm not listening to my stupid sister. I'm not listening to my stupid brother. But if dad yells, hey, dad said, tell Jaden, dad said, clean your room. And Ava's like, hey, dad said you got to do it. Okay. It's because there's weight and authority in that name. All of a sudden, all that attitude disappears because dad said there's some power in the name of Jesus. So we worship that name. Another reason why we worship that name, Proverbs 18:10. In the Message translation, God's name is a place of protection, and the righteous run there and they find safety. So his name is, let me just give you a few. Look at this list. Look at this list of the names of God. Sanctifier, spend time. Jesus, you're my sanctifier. You make me holy. Jesus, you're my healer. Jesus, I thank you that your name is greater than diabetes. It's greater than cancer. It's greater than breathing issues or problems or any lung issues. I thank you that Jesus, you're my healer today, and you praise and you magnify the name of Jesus. Jesus, I thank you that your name is peace. You're the peace in this chaotic world. I thank you that no matter what I go through, you're my peace. Jesus, I thank you that you're my victory. In every circumstance, I have the victory of God. No matter what I go through, I praise you and thank you that you are my victory. And you speak out and you actually worship and pray the names of God. You're going to pray John 10. I'm not going to turn my voice away. I'm going to turn my voice towards my Father. I'm going to turn my voice towards my shepherd. That's another name. You're my shepherd. You lead me. You guide me. You help me. You correct me. You're there for me. That's another name of God. There. Did you know that one of God's names is literally the word there? What does that mean, there? Yeah. What do you mean you're there? Yeah. God says, I'm there. Literally, wherever you are, guess what? I'm there. So we take time and worship the names of God. So he says, this is the next part that I pray. Then he goes into this next phrase. When you pray this way, pray your kingdom come, your will be done. Notice one word that's twice there. What's that word? Your. Your kingdom come, your will be done. So before you get to your, make sure it's absolutely your. This is really big. And again, myself included, I say your kingdom come, your will be done, because God doesn't want us just dumping on him as if he doesn't know what's going on in our life. And a lot of times that's what we do. We just start dumping on him and treat him as if he's unaware. We treat him as if he's uninvolved. No, it's your will be done. Your will be done in my life. Your will, your kingdom come. See, in every relationship that matters in our life, we always focus on their agenda first, and that is the third part of this prayer. So write this down. Write this down. It's on the back part of your notes. Pray his agenda first. Pray his agenda first. And let me say this way. God has a prayer list. Did you know that? He has a prayer list. And he wants you praying what's on his list first. Well, what's on his list? Seems kind of important. I can tell you what's on his list. It's one word. One word. Others. Pray for others. Pray for others first. Pray for others. So important. John 3:16, for God so loved the world. That's his character. That's who he is. You pray for others, friends, family, neighbors, other states, other churches, national leaders you support. Oh, and watch this. National leaders you don't support. Oh, I'm out. Ain't praying for him. Ain't praying for her. Yeah, you are. See, what happens is when you start praying for others, God's up in heaven and he goes, wow, really? all these things you got going on in your life that you really need, and you're going to take time and pray for others first? I like that. That's why I put in your notes Matthew chapter 6, verse 33. Seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, and then what? He takes care of all your needs. Seek him first and he takes all your needs. Not in your notes, Luke chapter 12, verse 31 in the Living Bible. He will always give you all your need from day to day if you'll make the kingdom of God your primary concern. So I'm going to focus on your kingdom come, your will be done. I'm going to focus on your agenda, God. So today, even if I agree with him, even if I don't agree with him, I pray for President Trump. I pray for the Supreme Court justices. I pray for Congress. I pray for our governor, Governor Justice. I pray for our governor, Governor DeWine. I pray for our governor, Governor Bevin. I think that's all three governors in our tri-state, right? I pray for these men. I pray, Lord God. And then for me, what I do is I get to the awesome people at New Life Church. God, I pray your blessing on New Life Church, your blessing of breakthrough, prosperity, of wisdom. I pray for the wealth. I pray for the families in this church that we are together. They are growing. They are strong. I pray for your health and your wisdom. Strengthen them with every spiritual blessing, Lord God. We pray for others first. We pray his agenda first. And the fourth part, Jesus says, then get into what you need. Now it's about us. Give us this day our daily bread. Give us this day our daily bread. Well, what does this mean? What does this mean? It's about us here. It means, and some of us, here's what happens. A lot of us are like, well, some days I need daily bread. Some days I got the bread. I'm good. We've all been there. Some days we have plenty. Some days we have little. But the biggest mistake we make is the only time we pray and ask God for our daily bread is when we need it. That's one of the biggest mistakes we make when it comes to our prayer life. A big mistake. Don't just go to God when you really need him. Go to God every single day. Learn to pray this way. This is brilliant. This is faith. Pray for what you need even when you don't need it. Pray for what you need even when you don't need it. Pray as if you don't have it, because here's what it does. It communicates to God that, God, everything I have is because you supplied it. Everything I need, it comes straight from you. You, God, you, Father, are my source. Every day, pray, even if you have it, everything. So every day I'm praying, and you should be praying, Lord, bless this church, bless my family, bless our finances, bless our health, bless this community, bless our emotions every day. Write this down. Depend on him for everything. That's number four. Depend on him for everything. That's what I'm going to do. I'm going to trust him for everything. Well, I don't feel like I need it. So let him know. He's your source. He's your provider. I'm going to communicate to God that everything I need, it comes from you. Again, that's why we pray first. God, we trust you as our source. Psalm 121, 1 and 2, this is awesome. I look up to the mountains. Does my help come from there? Now, some of us think when we see the mountains, we think that he's talking about the heavens. And he's not talking about the heavens. He's not talking about the heavens at all. The mountains was where the seat of the government was in Israel. So literally what he's saying here is, I look up to the government. I look up to Capitol Hill. Is that where my help comes from? Well, what's the answer? No. My help comes from who? The Lord. My help comes from the Lord. Somebody say amen. Amen. Then Jesus goes on to this fifth part. Told you it didn't take me long. This fifth part of this prayer. Forgive us as we forgive others. Forgive us our debts as we forget those who transgress our debtors. And so he's saying, I need you to actively forgive. I need you to actively forgive. I need you to ask me to forgive you, and then you need to forgive others. And this is an important part of this prayer. And that's why what you would write down is this. Get your heart right with God and with people. Get your heart right with God and with people. Well, what do you mean by that? Well, then what I mean by that is this. You need to pray every single day, Lord, help me to not be desensitized to sin. Help me to stay aware of sin. And so you pray things like this. God, search my heart. Point things out that I'm not even aware of. Because I promise you, when you start praying prayers like that, you're going to have these moments where the Holy Spirit's going to just like poke you. And you're going to be like, hey, I got it. Okay, I get it. He's going to start showing you things that you need to shift and change. And he's going to heal out of your life. And you got to get forgiveness for that. And so he says, keep your heart pure. Remember what we talked about in the foundation about our desires. This is a big part of that. And so I ask God to forgive me, but also that means I'm going to forgive others. I'm going to forgive others who have offended me, others who have hurt me. I'm going to forgive people who don't even know that they've hurt me. And I'm going to forgive them without telling them that they've offended me, and I forgive you. That's a big issue. Oh, I'll forgive you, but I'm about to tell you what all you did. You did. And, nope. Listen, There are times where I ask, I tell God, Lord, I forgive people in advance. I forgive people in advance. And when I'm going to the DMV, oh, I have to do that. I'm on my way and I'm like, God, I forgive them. Somebody's going to get on my nerves. Somebody's going to have a kid. He's going to be screaming. Nowadays, when I go to Walmart, I'm forgiven in advance. That's what I do. If you know that if you would do this, people would absolutely notice a difference in you. They would see it. It would be tangible, that forgiveness. It's so powerful. 1 John 1:9, if we confess our sins, God is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and purify our unrighteousness. So do this every day. I say do it every single day. The next part, you get your heart right with God, and then he moves into a fun one. Now lead us not into temptation, which is not actually a great translation here, because God never leads his own people into temptation. And there's a verse that says that, so it's not true. The actual Greek of this translation is, do not allow me to be led into temptation. And it literally means this. It means, God, today I'm going to have a chance to sin, and I need you to help me to make good choices. God, today I'm going to be tempted, so help me make good choices. Help me to make the right decisions. Like, temptation is on the agenda. The devil's after my life, and I understand that. So when I get to that moment, help me make the right choice. I want the discernment. I want to be led by the Spirit, because I know there's an evil one. And what I'm about to say, I know people don't like to hear this. They don't like to be reminded of this. But it doesn't change the fact that it exists. And that is this. You have an enemy who exists today who absolutely hates your guts. And he doesn't just want to make you have a bad day. Oh, I missed out on a parking spot. Oh, I was a little late for work. Oh, no, he wants to steal, kill, and destroy your life. This is a spiritual war. This isn't like a slap box. Spiritual water balloon fight. No, this is a spiritual war. Take it seriously. That's why you write this down. In number 6, engage in spiritual warfare. Engage in spiritual warfare. For many of us, the problem is the enemy is working harder to destroy our life than we are working to keep it from happening. He's outworking us. He's working harder to destroy your life than you are to pray and arm yourself with the armor of God and be prepared for this. It's what's happening. I know you don't like it, but it's true. Ephesians 6:12, for our struggle is not against people. It feels like it. That's the truth, but it's not. It's not flesh and blood, but it's against rulers of darkness, authorities, and powers in this dark world. This is in the Bible. This is not a movie. This is not a sci-fi. This is not, you know, some fiction. This is the real deal against spiritual forces of evil in heavenly realms. And if that evil exists, then I have to take my stand every day against the devil. That means part of my prayer is binding. Binding. I bind things off of your life and my life all day. I'll bind the enemy. I'll bind darkness. I'll bind arguments. I'll bind division. I'll bind your road rage if I had. I'll bind whatever it is I have to bind. I don't go to Taco Bell and bind the fat calories and bind. That ain't going to work. I bind this donut and then you eat it. No, you. That's not how this works. But I am going to engage in spiritual warfare every single day. I'm going to pray for protection over you, over my family, every single day. TC had a testimony just the other day of where she was in a potentially life-threatening situation in a car, praying, calling out to God. We pray for your protection every single day. We call it out. We bind the enemy from killing you. Because guess what he's trying to do? Take it seriously. Nehemiah 4 says, fight for your families. That's spiritual. To fight for your families, not fight with. Fight for. Fight for your families. You got to work harder than the devil is. Get in the presence of God. And then he goes into this last part. And he says, for yours is the kingdom. He ends where he began. For yours is the kingdom and the power and the glory. He goes right back to God. So he says, none of this happens because I prayed. None of this happens because I took time. All of this happens because of you. It all happens because of you. It's all about you, God. It's all about you, Father. It's all about your kingdom. I can only do this in your power. I can only do this in your glory. And I love to end my prayer time like this, and I've got it in your notes. Express your faith in God's ability. Express your faith in God's ability. God, you are awesome. A couple verses that I've got written down for you that you, if you want to start using them when you finish praying. Jeremiah 32:17. Our sovereign Lord, you have made the heavens and the earth by your great power and your outstretched arm. Ready for this? nothing is too difficult for you. Somebody say amen. I love ending a prayer like that. I love reading this out and saying, you know what, Lord? Nothing that I just said, nothing I just prayed, none of that makes you nervous. None of that makes you tremble because you don't know if it can happen or you don't know if you can do it. Nothing is too difficult for my God. And then you finish with this, Revelations 5:13, to whom who sits upon the throne and under the land be blessing and honor and glory and power forever and ever and ever. And the people of God said, amen. Amen.